It's time for us to bring in Scott Muchenbaker, who is the famous executive chef out of the Beef Steak Club in downtown Fargo. Scott Muchenbaker, spell that M-O-T-S-C-H-E-M-B-A-C-H-E-R. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Not bad, Jack. You nailed it.
Thank you. Took me a long time because every time I spelled it wrong online, I heard from your mom. If he's a friend, he'd learn how to spell your name.
If he really cared about you.
And so, Scott, good to have you here, man.
Good to be here, Jack.
I think that would the subject is a stroke of genius. It was Sandy Butweiler's idea. She said, well, it's almost Memorial Day. Why don't we have Scott Muchenbaker give us some good side dishes? So what three? You came up with three. What are they?
Yeah, I got three of them. We're going to do a potato salad. We're going to do a watermelon, mint, and balsamic vinegar salad. And then a asparagus with wilted arugula salad.
Well, you no, I am a potato man.
Well, everybody is.
I love potatoes.
We live in the Midwest. You're from Idaho, right?
Well, that's where I fled and still love my spuds. So,
of course.
Let's do potato salad first.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take two new or red potatoes, and we're gonna chop those up into a small to medium dice, probably about a half inch squares. And we're going to boil those in a little bit of chicken stock or just salted water. That works just fine. Cook those.
Well, I think boiling it up in chicken stock is a great idea. I never even conceived of that. I always just use water.
Yeah, you know.
What a great idea. You could save it and use it for something later.
Okay, bingo. And, you know, and also after you cook those potatoes in there, because a lot of the starch boils out of them, that chicken stock is actually really good for making soups. If all of a sudden, you know, we do live in Fargo, so it could be 70 degrees one day and then it could be 2 degrees the next day. Tomorrow you might want a nice cup of hot chicken, whatever soup.
Wow, great idea. So boil your spuds in the chicken stock. All right, keep going.
All right. So let's see. We're just going to cook those until they're about fork tender. And then after that, what we're going to do is we're going to dice up about 10 pieces of bacon. We're going to cook those off really, really slowly in a saute pan, something with a lot of surface area. And we're going to get them nice and crispy, all those little nice, beautiful little bacon pieces. And we're trying to render some of the fat, too, because we're gonna incorporate that into the rest of our potato salad.
Wait a minute. We're going to use the fat from the bacon in our potato salad?
Correct.
Please hurry along.
Yes, yes, yes. And then obviously, you know, you need some filler. You know, everybody likes a celery, some yellow onion. I love that stuff because it brings such an awesome, you know, crunch, a freshness to the potato salad or chicken salad or what have you. So what I'll do is I'll dice up two celery stalks, really small dice on this. I like to go about an eighth of an inch to about a quarter of an inch. Break out your ruler. You don't have to. You're not going through culinary school. Then we're going to do half a large yellow onion. Small dice on that as well. Then we're going to do two kosher pickle spears, dice that up. I'm going to do 1 tablespoon of celery salt, 1 tablespoon of fresh cracked black pepper, 1 teaspoon of cayenne, 1 teaspoon of paprika. And now we're going to make an aioli, which is basically a fancy way for saying mayonnaise, homemade mayonnaise. So in a food processor, we're going to do 1 egg yolk. Then we're going to do 1 tablespoon of roasted garlic. 1/4 cup of yellow or spicy mustard. I like spicy because I just like spicy stuff. So then we're going to do 1/4 cup of apple cider vinegar, and then we're going to turn that in, and we're going to slowly, slowly drizzle in our bacon fat because you need a fat to make this aioli. And I figured bacon fat would be perfect because bacon, potatoes.
How much bacon did we begin with that we diced up?
We started out with 10 pieces of bacon.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, that's going to give you, depending upon how much fat you got in your bacon, I mean, maybe about 1/4 cup of bacon fat. Mm-hmm. So, and then we're also going to drizzle in about 1/2 cup of vegetable oil. It's vegetables. Let's keep it a little bit healthy,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And then after we're done with that, we're just going to mix all that stuff together in a nice big bowl. And then we're just going to garnish that with some of that crispy bacon on the top. I like to garnish with the bacon because then you still have that nice crispy bacon flavor. Because sometimes when it marries in with all those flavors and, you know, everything else like that, it gets a little bit soggy. So I like to garnish my potato salad with that.
Do you not put boiled eggs in your potato salad?
Jack, eggs are for breakfast.
Okay.
Creme brulees, ice cream, and throwing at your neighbor's house.
Not a big egg fan, huh?
No, no, no.
Ever tried duck eggs?
Yeah, actually, I like to make fresh pasta with duck eggs. It just brings a certain richness, and I like everything duck, actually.
Now, as a matter of fact, you have duck fat fries.
That's correct. Yeah. We cook our French fries in duck fat.
They're really good, too. All right. So that's your potato salad. Now you have a watermelon mint balsamic vinegar salad.
Yeah. This was actually brought up by my lady friend, and I thought it was really interesting. I added a couple extra ingredients just to jazz it up a little bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to get one whole watermelon, and we're going to dice that up about half inch to three quarter inch squares. It's watermelon, so you don't have to get super technical with it. It's just a simple side salad, so just have fun with it. You know, half inch, three quarter inch, 5 inch, whatever you want to do. And then we're going to do one cup of feta. That's a delicious goat cheese. And we're just going to crumble that over the top, and then we're going to slice up about 8 mint leaves really, really, really thin. And then we're going to do 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar. I like to use red apple. I get it from a cool little store that's downtown that specializes in balsamic vinegars, really, really nice olive oils, infused olive oils.
I bought garlic-infused olive oil down there. I also bought juniper balsamic vinegar and raspberry balsamic, and I think that juniper was about as good as they get.
Absolutely.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So yeah, so then we're just going to throw in 1 teaspoon of salt, a little bit of fresh cracked black pepper, and we're just going to toss that and let that sit overnight just to get those flavors to marry a little bit. And you know, if it starts to if you got too much vinegar in there and it gets a little too tart for you, you know, some people like the tartness of the vinegar. If it gets a little bit too tart, just add a little bit of sugar, and that's going to help cut that tartness and kind of bring it back to where you want it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I enjoyed the potato salad recipe, the watermelon mint balsamic vinegar salad, and now asparagus with wilted arugula.
That's right. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick up one bunch of asparagus. Everybody knows what a bunch of asparagus is. It's always got those nice little rubber bands that you like to shoot at your fellow cook or what have you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to blanch those off and make sure that you remove the ends of the asparagus because it gets really, really woody, like really, really tough to chew. So that's going to be about the, depending upon what kind of asparagus you get, whether it's the jumbo or the little guy, what have you, it's going to be about 2 to 3 inches up from the bottom. You're just going to cut that off. And then we're going to toss that asparagus into some boiling salted water. You know, before we talked about cooking those potatoes in the chicken stock,
yep.
You don't want to do that with asparagus if you want to reuse the chicken stock, because the asparagus will actually bring kind of a bitter flavor to whatever liquid that you're cooking it in. So don't ever use asparagus if you're making like a vegetable stock or something like that. It's just cook it off and eat it. That's what you want it for.
Okay, that's helpful hint number 47.
Yes. And so after we throw that in the boiling salted water, we're going to cook that for about 5, maybe 7 minutes, depending upon how heavy of a boil you got going on. And what we're going to do is we're going to put that into an ice bath right away because we want to stop that cooking. We want to keep that asparagus at its peak point, its peak freshness, where it still has all those wonderful nutrients inside of it. So after that, what we're going to do is we're going to roast 3 whole shallots off. And what we'll actually do is we'll quarter those and we'll roast those. We're going to toss those in a little bit of olive oil, some salt and pepper, and we'll just roast that on a pan for about 30 to 45 minutes at a 350-degree oven. And then what we'll do after that is, in a sauté pan, we're going to add 1 tablespoon of diced garlic, and we're going to do 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and we're going to cook that garlic until it begins to just turn brown, and we're going to deglaze that with about 1/4 cup of good white wine. And then we're going to add about 2 large handfuls of arugula, and that's about the only measurement I got for you is big handfuls, because we could say 3 ounces. And 3 ounces is a lot of arugula. But anyways, so we're going to throw that in. And if you can't find arugula around anywhere, I mean, I know sometimes it's kind of tough. It's kind of hit and miss with some of the grocery stores. Mustard greens work really, really well with this dish too. And so we're going to throw this into our saute pan with our garlic and everything. And then we're going to add about 1/4 cup of chicken stock. And then we're just kind of toss those greens around until they're all nice and wilted. And now you don't want to, after they're wilted, you want to pull them out right away, because then they'll start to turn brown. They'll start losing all those nutrients, and that's not what you want. You want to keep everything at its peak freshness. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to toss all this together, and we're going to dress it with the zest of 1 lemon and the juice of 2 lemons and 1 orange, and voila.
Can you buy zest?
You might be able to get like freeze dried zest, but it's better if you just use, you know, I mean, if you got like, you know, like the box cheese grater, get like the fine, you know, they got the different size of cheeses that you can grate.
That's a lot of work though.
It is,
you
but
bust your knuckles. What can you do with these things? My buddy Kim Brewster.
Oh, look at those.
Came by. Have you ever seen those?
This looks very familiar. Oh, good old Morel mushrooms. Love these things.
What would you do with a Morel mushroom if you had one?
You know, I would just do really, really simple with this. I would just, I mean, this thing's huge. So I would probably just quarter this up and just toss it with a little bit of garlic, olive oil, and maybe just like a little bit of like chicken stock or veal stock. Just let that reduce down a little bit. That's all you need, maybe a little salt and pepper.
Have you talked to our good friend Kim Brewster?
He was actually sending me picture messages yesterday of all the morels he had picked up. And
42 pounds.
Yeah, that's... He says, what's he going to do with all
those? That's like $1,000 worth.
It is.
He thought he'd give them to me.
All of them?
Well, as a matter of fact, he said he was going to get some to you, too.
Ah, nice.
But he wanted to get one to the chef, first of all.
Nice. Nice.
I'm kidding. He told me how to clean them because he said, imagine this. You're lying on a white sandy beach and you open your eyes.
Oh, yes.
And there is 75 yards of white beach covered with morel mushrooms. That's what he had. He was in a sandy area. That's as specific as he would give me.
Right.
It was a sandy area somewhere within 100 miles of here covered with those kind of mushrooms.
No kidding.
That one there is probably, what, 3 ounces?
Oh, yeah, at least.
All right, man, we'll see you downtown tonight.
That's right.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Jack.
Scott Mutcher Baker.